We have some other young people that would like to help and provide some music for us for our service. We would be open to that, or anybody that would like to, and we can work that out with the details. And so thankful for that today. I want to invite you today to turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 2. And I'm going to start my message. I don't know when and when our guests are going to be able to join us, and if they will be able to, but we're thinking about that and planning on Pastor Saheed joining us in a little bit. So when he does, if he's able to, then we'll probably just break into that. We'll move into that and then come back to what I want to share with you this morning. Last Sunday, we celebrated the church, and in several different ways in worship, we celebrated Christ's love for us, and celebrating the church is one of my favorite topics. It's one of my favorite things to think about and to talk about and to preach about, because I know how precious the church is to the Lord and how precious that Jesus gave himself for the church. And last Sunday, we talked about those things and how important they were. And we also did something different that I've certainly never done like this. We received Holy Communion together, and most of you were able to do that. Some people sent me pictures. I heard other people talk about how they did it. And I just heard a lot of neat responses and reactions to communion together. I'll tell you one thing. I've ordered enough communion when we do get back together that we'll have enough communion for a year and a half, I think. The individual cups that are sealed and all those things, because how precious communion is. And we look forward to that. And I enjoy that so very much. I think I enjoy, there's so many things I enjoy about it. I enjoy the worship, the focus on Jesus for us. And then I know that element of us being together and connected to the body of Christ and how precious that is to me. And so there's so many things that we enjoy together. I am going to ask you, like I mentioned earlier, if you would help me in my sermon today. I'm going to ask you a question later on. I'm just going to ask for a few responses, one or two words. I'm not looking for a long response, but I really do want you to think about a question that I'm going to ask you in a few minutes, or maybe a little bit later if Saheed is able to get on and join us by this time. But this morning, I want to read from Mark chapter 2, a great story, a powerful story to me that has a lot in it that is worthy for us to think about and to consider. This is the scripture, Mark chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12 today. A few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or say, 'Get up, take up your mat, and walk?' But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This truly is one of many of Jesus' great miracles. There's so many things in this story that get my attention. There's a lot of things in this story that seem to speak to different elements of our faith, the character of God, the person of Jesus. Number one, maybe the obvious thing would be to say that truly it shows us the power of Jesus. The power of Jesus. And how Jesus had an incredible ability and insight over nature, over the human body, over diseases, and then at a far deeper level, how Jesus had the power to forgive sins. And that really is the thing that caught the attention of the Pharisees of all things. It wasn't the spectacular view of them lowering this man through the roof, or that they wanted to see Jesus so bad and that Jesus could heal him. It was that they were coming to terms with knowing that this amazing Jesus was able to forgive sins. And that's why he came. Every miracle Jesus did was to point people toward his power to forgive sins. Every time Jesus did a great miracle and showed this awesome ability over nature or over sickness or over demons, it was to draw people to the reality of salvation and that he would one day go to the cross. And when he went to the cross, that he would die for our sins. So he came to forgive sins, but often he accomplished these great miracles to show people his power and his ability to do so. Very early in Jesus' ministry, this story takes place. In fact, if you look where it is in the gospel in Mark, it's in the second chapter. And so that's very early in the time, at least as it's recorded here, of when Jesus was being seen and known and recognized as this great healer. This story takes place in Jesus' hometown, his hometown of Capernaum. Now, we know that Capernaum was not the town that he was born in. Of course, he was born in Bethlehem. And we know that he spent most of his early years in Nazareth and probably up through his adult life. But somewhere along the way, we also know that Jesus shifted his home to the town of Capernaum, which is on the northern end of the Sea of Galilee. It was a fishing town, and Jesus took up Capernaum as his hometown, probably after he became adult, maybe related to his work and traveling and his teaching and his carpentry. We don't know that for sure, but we know that Capernaum was the place that Jesus was on this day. And actually, there's about as many things that are recorded taking place in Capernaum as any other place in the New Testament, including Jerusalem. I mean, there was a lot of other things that we don't know about, but Capernaum, I just say that to say Capernaum was a very important place and it was an important town. And most of the people that lived in Capernaum probably would have rubbed shoulders with Jesus over the years. They might have known Jesus as a little boy. They might have known Jesus when they began to see something different and unique about this teacher, this rabbi that they were unaccustomed to. And now they're beginning to see him blossom out in this area of being a rabbi that they had not seen before. But whatever the case with all that, they saw that Jesus was coming home and they wanted to see him and hear him. And it says here the crowds began to gather. Verse 2 says, they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. I mean, there were a lot of people, probably about everybody that lived in the area of Capernaum, maybe would have come. Now, I believe if I've read this correctly, and I had the opportunity to visit Capernaum with Debbie and my dad 5 years ago or so, and I remember they said Capernaum in Jesus' day was probably, if I remember right, about 200 to 300 people lived in Capernaum. So you can imagine those 200 or 300 people, maybe those from the village in the area, the countryside, as they came together pressing in to see who is this Jesus and what is he going to do. So in Capernaum, you have these large crowds, and then you have this paralyzed man. This paralyzed man who apparently was desperate to see Jesus. He had heard about Jesus. He knew that Jesus was a healer. Maybe he had interacted with Jesus before, I don't know. But he had heard about Jesus, and now he wanted to meet Jesus. And then we have his friends who brought him on a mat. We think of these four friends of this paralyzed man. These friends were very important. These friends were absolutely essential to this paralyzed man. I don't know if other times they had taken him different places, Probably, if he indeed was unable to get anywhere himself, he was relying on his friends for years, probably, as long as he had been paralyzed, to take him everywhere he went. Think of the connection between this paralyzed man and his friends. That just makes me think more about the importance of friends and the people out there who have connections with us that really need the help of a caring friend and a person. Because of the crowd, it says, they had to devise another plan. And so they gave it their best. One thing you can say about these friends is, man, they went out of their way. They sure didn't stop because it wasn't convenient. They certainly didn't say, ah, it can't be done. Just not today. Jesus is too busy. There's too many people here. And we'll just have to come back another day. No, that wasn't their attitude in their heart at all. It was, we're going to take this man to Jesus. They were determined. They gave it their very best. That just reminds me how important it is for us to give our very best in everything we do. Certainly in the area of taking care of people. And maybe this is an area that I would say I would feel in my heart is way up there on the list for God in loving people. That we give our very best to take care of the people around us. That we realize that people are more important than schedules. People are more important than programs. People are more important, I would just say, than who's right sometimes. People are more important than being right sometimes. People are more important than just about everything I can compare to it. People are important to God. Our district superintendent said last June, and we've kind of heard that and said that in different ways, certainly since then and before too in places. God loves people. And it's so true. God loves the people that are doing great. God loves the people that are getting it all together. God loves the givers. But God also loves those that aren't doing well, those that are struggling, those that are takers. God loves people. And there's so many stories in the Bible that remind me of this. This is a tangent of this story, but it does come to my mind and my heart, the reminder that God loves people. God loved a paralyzed man. God loves people that are paralyzed. God cares about people that are hurting wherever they are, whoever they are. God cares about paralyzed people. You may have an opportunity in your life to be around some paralyzed people. This story just reminds me how important compassion is. And seeing people like God does. Maybe in this story, seeing them like these four friends did. With great compassion, they showed this love and this care for this man, this friend. Because of the crowd, they had to devise another plan. This reminds me, and I'm thinking of this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. It says this, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable, according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. If the willingness is there. I guess today I'm thinking about that word a lot, willingness. Are we willing to do what God gives us the opportunity to do? Are we willing to self-sacrifice? Are we willing to step out of our comfort zones? Are we willing to set aside maybe our ego sometimes? Are we willing to look at people who are paralytic with compassion, even if they have brought it on themselves? Are we looking at people with judgment? or with hearts that say, I love you, I care about you. Jesus knows what's inside of our hearts. Jesus knows whether the willingness is there. Jesus knows if we have attitudes and maybe conditioning, maybe it's been a part of our lives for a while that we've kind of held back from a heart and a spirit that freely gives. I think of Jesus. He said a lot of things about attitude in the heart. Freely give, freely receive. These four men seem to give us an example of a deep kindness and compassion. And it's a great story for us. Jesus knows what's inside our hearts. Number one I'll say of these four men is they had faith. Faith that Jesus could help their friend. Jesus, they believed, could do it. And so they were willing to step out. They put their faith to action. They were not just, as James says in the book of James, hearers of the word, but they were doers of the word. I just love it when I see people being doers of the word. They don't have to be begged. They don't have to be browbeaten or shamed. They just have a heart that says, God, help me to help people wherever they're at, whatever they're dealing with. Help me to have a heart that loves people. Into action, this story. They showed determination too. Now, we've probably all heard the explanation of the houses in Palestine at this time, how you'd go up usually along a walkway behind it or on the side, and you get to the roof, and people lived up there part of the time, and the roofs were able to be taken off and taken down and apart, and that's part of this story. But whatever it was, they showed some ingenuity. They certainly didn't do it the way a lot of people would have. They certainly didn't stop when they saw the crowd just would not let them get anywhere near Jesus. They went up to the roof and they began to take off the leaves and the branches and the covering that would have been a part of that roof. And somehow they figured out what to do with their mat and their ropes and four people. I mean, if it'd be, you know how, well, I know how clumsy I am, and I just think, that'd be risky for me to try to let somebody down on a rope, you know. But these guys had it figured out. And they were determined. They ignored the gawkers. You know, can you imagine some of the people saying, look at those crazy people. Man, can't they just wait till tomorrow to bring this man to Jesus? You know? Sometimes we have the habit of gawking more than serving. Sometimes we have the habit of watching how other people do it more than saying, God, help me to know what you want me to do. But these men were determined no matter what. They were going to bring their friend to Jesus and nothing was going to stop them. They showed determination. They had faith in Jesus' power. They had faith in Jesus' power. They had a great willingness to serve. They had a great heart to serve. All right, about six of you have responded to my question. So, Connor, would you unmute? I know a bunch of the kids have gotten the key, but I want Connor to say the word here today. Connor, what's the key to our message this morning?
Serve.
Serve. Very good. Great job, Connor, and all these other people are sending me texts and messages. Serve. That's what God tells us to do. That's what God calls every believer to do, to be a servant, to serve Christ and to serve one another. I'm so thankful for the privilege and opportunity that God gives us, I said earlier, to give an offering. That's a great privilege. And it's also a great privilege to serve. Today, I'm thankful for that. I want to say thankful to those that have been serving. We've had this past week some pretty neat things going on with the masks and other things happening. But that's some things that people know about, some things that people don't. And what a privilege it is today to be a part of the body of Christ. It's also a great privilege to see a beautiful face on my screen. Pastor Saeed, can you hear me and see me? Okay, we're not getting volume yet. I know you're talking.
Good morning to you.
Hey, you are there. Hello, Pastor Saeed. Good morning to you. So you already had your completion of your worship today.
Yes, we did. We did.
Good for you. I see you got some people in the background. Are they some of your musicians and people that are helping to lead your worship?
Yes, and they'll be sharing with you when you're ready.
I'm ready. We're ready, Pastor. We're so glad that you joined us. And take it away.
Well, we greet you from Suriname, and we are very happy that we can share with you about what is happening in Suriname. And we want to praise the Lord that we still have the opportunity of sharing the gospel, and we not only have to share it now in the church, it's like a new norm. We are able to share the gospel now on air and through live stream on Facebook so that more people can get to reach the gospel. We are glad for this opportunity. And our prayer is that the church will continue to rise and be strong. The church will continue to lift up the name of Jesus through whatever media and means we can so that we can glorify God continually and bring more people into the kingdom. This morning we have with us here Brother Randy Chieto. He is going to share with us a little bit about Suriname. He is a member of the District Advisory Board and a member of our church board. So listen to what Brother Randy Chieto will share with you at this time. He has been in contact with Reverend Scott over the past years also. Brother Randy.
You will, though, if I ask you to.
Hi, good morning there to you guys in America. Greetings from Suriname. I am Randy Chi.
Do you know him?
I'm the treasurer of the Charlesburg Nazarene Church. And I sit on the advisory board too. And a little thing from Suriname to let you guys know about the geographical situation of Suriname. Suriname is a Dutch colony. Netherlands was their mother country, but they had independence in 1975. We are bordered with British Guyana, French Guyana, and Brazil. We have a population of about 570,000 people, so, and we are one of the smallest country in South America, and we have the lowest rate going in our poorness. We are about 80% poor people living in Suriname. It is very diverse. It's a melting pot of many different races. We have Javanese, Indonesia. We have Haitians. We have Americans, Canadians, and Chinese. A lot of Chinese who are controlling the business sector, the economic sector. And we have a lot of potential with this concern. We have forestry. About 93% of the country is forestry. We have gold. We have timber. We have fishing. We have oil. But still, we are poor because of mismanagement and corruption in our country. But to give you a little situation about our country, 48% of the country are Christians, divided up into the different denominations that we have, the Catholics, the Presbyterian, the Baptist, the Nazarene, and many others. But we strive, and we know God is good all the time. And we are striving to let the word go forward. And with you guys' help that you always help and the mission work that you guys do, we are very appreciative of what you are doing for Suriname District. We strive to better things in the coming years, and due to the COVID, we are a bit, you know, closed down with the situation, but we are still trying to get the word out there. But Suriname is a lovely country. It's beautiful. And, you know, our pastor has done a great job coming here from Guyana, leaving his family over there, and come to join us to take control of our church. But he has done a wonderful job. And he's very much loved by this congregation and the people of Suriname that he's leading over. has a lot of great things to talk about him. I'd like to thank you guys for listening to us and having a little update. You guys take care. Have a great day and be safe and take care. Thank you. Now I'm going to introduce Sister Debbie. I'm going to enlighten you guys a little more about what's going on in Suriname.
Okay, now you will hear from our Sunday School District Superintendent and a member of our trustee board, as she will share a little bit about what is happening.
Goedemorgen, ik groet u in de heilige naam van Jezus Christus. Meaning, I greet you in the precious name, in the holy name of Jesus Christ. That was Dutch, our main language in Suriname. So our Suriname district, we have 5 churches, Dutch, English, Saramaccan, Haitian, and Amerindian. We have 3 outstation, I think you guys say prayer point, which is a Haitian outstation, a Dutch, and an English. 1 children club, which is Dutch. Now, our services is, each churches have worship service on Sunday morning. We have Sunday school, children Sunday school, adult Sunday school on Sunday morning. And during the week, we have intercessory and we have Bible study. We have youth service each Saturday, each churches. And that's our services in Suriname. We, the Compassionate Ministry, we reach out to our elderly, our widows, our community, and anyone in help. As we, if any of us know, we reach out also. Now, with the COVID outreach, so far, the churches has come together, members of the churches, and we made hampers, and we give out to those we know that needed, because right now, there's a lot of people not working. Also, from the district level, include all the churches. We are not complete as yet. Tomorrow will be our last. The churches in Paramaribo, they receive their hampers, and we have to go to Apura, and that will be done tomorrow. We also, with this COVID going on, we also have live stream. We, the ministers, the leaders, the elders, we call our members, our community. We pray with them. We encourage them. Some of us turn to social media where we put up encouraging words. We have our youth leader who is in contact with all the youths, because even they are struggling to accept all what's going on, you know, and she's there to encourage them and pray for them. We also have small groups. We go out into our church community, into our home communities, and even to our members, and we pray and we encourage and we do all that in the name of Jesus Christ. I hope you are informed with all this. As for the children club, we also did small hampers for them, also some small sweets bag, and weekly we try to reach out to them by baking and making snacks, and because all of them are from the same community where the children club is. So you have a blessed day, and I hope you're informed enough.
Okay, that was Sister Debbie, and now we'll hear from Mark. He has been working with the mission. He has been the leader of the Work and Witness group, and he was supposed to visit you guys last year, didn't get to come. But he has been a worker in the mission, the Work and Witness project, over the many years that Reverend Scott has been coming to this country. So I'll hand you over to him now, Brother Mark.
Blessing, good morning. So you guys over there, I'm Brother Mark. As the
blessings. Reverend.
I'm part of the coordination in the Work and Witness team. I greet you in the Church of the Nazarene in Charlesburg on behalf of you guys' church over there, the Mifflinburg Church in Pennsylvania. The situation currently of the COVID-19 here in Suriname is not an extensive in the sense that it's not so critical in terms of the population. for ratio for people. As Brother Randy mentioned, we hear roughly around presently 585,000 people in Suriname, and we have a square mile. The size of our country is roughly 162,000 kilometers, square kilometers. So in that sense, we're spaced out a lot. We're not really clustered. So the contagious rate of it spreading here is not that much. But in other terms of the borders, the problem what we had, what we experienced before, prior to closing the borders, was that the government didn't really close the borders early enough. So all of our cases were immigrants that was coming back to Suriname. And that's how we contracted the virus. But for locally anyone here, as far as we know, as far as the government mentioned, there is no one presently at the moment that had the virus in Suriname. All of the cases were those were that were exported, that was came from abroad. So at the moment, we had 10 infected cases. 7 were recovering, 2 in the intensive care at the moment, and 1 died. Sadly, 1 aged person died. He was experiencing some underlying conditions. But so far, what the government has implemented, he has closed all the borders, and there is the local and international borders are closed. And oh yeah, we had roughly 200 something in quarantine, government quarantine. But the plan of the government is to keep the borders closed until the numbers decrease. And at the moment, the borders via air and sea, local and internationally, are closed. So there is no movement in that section of society. But we are locked down here from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. There's really no movement in the night, just basic essential needs. So I hope and pray that the protocol of the government continue and that he take the situation serious as a country. But that is the situation currently as of today of the COVID-19 situation. We hope and pray you guys are safe over there too, and as ourselves over here, we will keep you in prayer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the mark. And well, yesterday we did our distribution of the food packages, and we have a few more to distribute in Apura. So tomorrow we'll be meeting with the pastor and helping to get the stuff up there. We are very happy that you were able to help us to make this possible. We really appreciate that. And we know that the money was in Guyana, we couldn't get it. But because you guys helped us, we were able to access the money here. And now our people are very happy. Many of them were able to respond to us and let us know that they really appreciate this great gesture of love from you guys in reaching out to them. So we thank you very much. And our prayers are with you. We want you to keep praying for us. The church here is very small, but we have many different groups. And we pray that our ministry will continue to interact with one another, with each other, and we'll be able to do God's will in a better way.
Thank you.
So
thank
God
you.
Bless all of you.
Saheed, thank you so much. Can you hear me? Are you able to hear me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. Well, I can see your face and hear you, and what a privilege it is to hear and to meet some of your friends there. What a great privilege it is to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. I have somebody, another special guest here, and I just asked him if he would pray today and pray for Suriname and pray for you. Tim Carr and Heidi are here as our special guests. And they have a microphone, and I'm going to ask them if they would lead us in prayer today.
Good morning, Saheed.
Good morning.
How are you today?
We are doing very well, Rudd. Sis, how are you guys doing?
We are very blessed. Thank you. How's Melinda and Joyce?
She's doing well. She's right here. One more. She's going to say a quick hi to you.
We want to see them, too.
Yeah. Here she goes.
Hello.
Hi,
hey,
Joyce.
Good morning.
Blessings
how are you?
To you.
I'm good. And how are you?
We're blessed.
Good to
you see
you.
We are so thankful for, internet.
Yes.
It brings us home.
It does.
So we can see each other. We can hear each other's voice. And so that's so nice.
Amen. It's good to see you.
We are so much appreciative of what you are doing for our church. And we pray God blessings upon each one of you as we continue to work in partnership. I like this.
That's beautiful. And it's good to see you. Many blessings.
Yes, many blessings to you. Good to see you, Joyce and Saheed.
All right, Tim, would you lead us in prayer? Is Linda there too?
No. She's in Guyana.
Oh, I thought you said that. Okay. Well, we're so blessed to be with you. Let's have Tim pray, and then we'll have an opportunity to hear from you again if you want to. Tim, lead us in prayer. Real close.
Thank you, dear Lord, for this wonderful morning and this beautiful technology that you've allowed us to get together with from partway around the world with friends and family. And I want to pray, dear Lord, for the country of Suriname and for the things that are going on there with the government and COVID-19 and the lack thereof. And we pray it continues to not affect that country well. And we pray that that country will come out of its financial hole, whatever that may be, and that the government would just want to support the people. We thank you for the church in Suriname and for Saheed's work and for all the brothers down there's work and sisters. And thank you, dear Lord, for your life, for your kingdom. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. And I guess, dear Lord, that we just need to remember, we know you are in control, and we just thank you for that. Thank you again for this church and for our friends here and for all the wonderful things that you do. In your holy, precious name, dear Lord, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
It's so good to see you. I wonder, Lee, could you just unmute everybody? If anybody would like to say something, it's going to be a madhouse trying to do this. But would you unmute us? And anybody want to say, I know some of you have been to Suriname especially. And just give you an opportunity to greet Saheed and his family and those that are there. Anybody want to share something?
Oh, I absolutely do. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you good, Scott.
Yes, we can hear you.
Well, it was so good to see you. Randy, basically, I miss you guys. It was good to see Mark working with him and being on the trips with him. These are gentlemen that I only met shortly. I got to be with Mark a little bit more than Randy, but both of you have been on my heart, and you're doing such a great job. And Debbie, you continue to remind me of my daughter, so you got a special place in my heart too. It's great to have you as brothers and sisters. It's something that the world cannot understand, how it is that you can meet somebody for a few days, but yet feel like you're family. It's the wonderful thing about the family of God. And I just so much appreciate what you guys are doing down there. And it's an honor to work side by side, hand in hand with you.
Anybody else want to share?
We're really happy that we can also be a part of the ministry. And we are all working together in God's kingdom. So we give God the glory. We're looking forward for your trip come next year. And we'll be able to work on that church building. And so we want you to know that God is still doing his work. And we just got to keep going. As one man said, the wind of God is always blowing. Mm. We just have to hoist our sails and move with him.
Amen.
So, let's give him all the glory and the honor, for he is a good God.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much. So good to be with you. We're going to close our service today and ask Debbie and Paula, we're going to sing a chorus, Yes, Lord, Yes. Maybe you can sing it with us. I don't know about the timing, but wherever you're at today, let's worship him together. Yes, Lord, Yes. Sing with me as we worship today. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and your way.
I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey when you're
bunch of kids that got it right already. I see the Snooks, the Kerstetters, the Martins, Bartholomews, and some others that I don't know this phone number. Anyway, great job. The key is to serve, to have a servant heart that God calls us to have. I want to leave you with this last scripture about encouragement today, and God reminds us the importance of encouraging each other daily. And what a privilege it is today to say, may you be an encouragement to each other. It's been a joy to be with you, Saheed, and some of your church people. We pray that you'll be safe. We pray that God will watch over you and take care of you, and to all those that are a part of our worship today. It's just so good to be connected, so good to be with you. We wish you God's best, and maybe we'll be on for devotions this afternoon at 4 o'clock if you're able to. And if not, let's connect soon. God bless. Have a great day to each one of you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, God bless you too. Bye.
Bye-bye, Saheed. Blessings, bye. My brother. Thank you for being with us.
You have a great day too. God bless every one of you.
All right. Same to you. God bless you.